Good afternoon, everybody. School plots are coming at you live from my house, Gulf Madison, about School of Your Studies. We meet again. It's Monday afternoon, book club class. We're studying The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah, Understanding Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros. Today is Monday, August 8th of the year 22. Let's get right into it. We're on page 52. I think we'll do about a 45-minute class because I got to take my kid out to a visual appointment out in Mount Washington and all that. We might just mop up some things over there. So let's do a solid 45 minutes. We're on page 52. We're going to finish this little chapter right now, another page or so. Let's get to it. The order of the verses, we're talking about Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros, those three important categories that we pray and recite the verses of in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf. You've got three verses from the Hebrew, the Chumash Chumash Torah, the Bible, the five books of Moses, three verses from the prophets, three verses from the Ksuvim, from the holy writings, almost all of it from Psalms, all of it in praise of God, three verses talking about how God remembers everything, three verses that talk about shofros, how we use the shofar, and three having to do with God's kingship. Okay, so let's go ahead and see how this all plays out. It's not just 10 verses. There's a lot more than that. Here we go. The order of the verses, page 52. This is Rabbi Shimon Mordechai Cohen of England. As we have seen, there is a specific order to our recital of the verses, three from the Torah, three from Ksuvim, the holy writings, three from Nevi'im, the prophets, and a concluding one from the Torah, from the five books of Moses. The Rishonim discussed, the rabbis of the early medieval period, the 1000s, 1100s, 1200s, the Rishonim discussed why it is that the verses from Ksuvim, from the holy writings, come before those from Nevi'im. Usually we say Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. That's usually how the books are ordered. Five books of Moses, then Joshua, then Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and then the big prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the 12 other prophets, and so on. And then you get to the holy writings. So if that's how the Bible itself is ordered, why is it that this is out of that order? The Rush explains that since all of the verses from Ksuvim, the holy sacred writings, come from Sefer Tehillim, from the Book of Psalms, and the Book of Psalms predates the verses from Nevi'im, because David predated Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and the other 12, Hosea, Habakkuk, Joel, Jonah, you get the idea. So because David and the book of Psalms predate the verses from Nevi'im, from the prophets, therefore the rabbis decided that these verses also come before the prophets in our prayers. Okay? Approaching the verses with gratitude and awe. The recitation of Malchios, verses having to do with God's kingship, Zechronos, how he remembers everything, and Shofros, how we use the shofar in important periods of time. We blow the shofar on a holiday, Rosh Hashanah. When there's a war, we blow the shofar. When Mashiach would come, we blow the shofar. So the shofar comes up in various historical times and hopefully in the very near future. So the recitation of these verses, having to do with kingship, remembrance, and shofar, commences with the Aleinu prayer. We begin things, we kick things off in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, because built into our Musaf that we say privately is Aleinu. Now, you and I think, oh, the Aleinu, I always say that at the end of the prayers, and you know, and we people are talking, putting away their tefillin, they're running out the door. But the Aleinu is a super important prayer, and it should not be trivialized. Things get kicked off with the Aleinu prayer. In this expression of praise and loyalty to God, Klal Yisrael thanks God with great awe for revealing to us the truth of his oneness as God. And it's, because it's not so simple. Other religions don't agree with that. They think there's more than one God. There's more than one aspect of God. God's going, if I felt that way, I would have told you that. If God felt that he was partnered up with somebody up in heaven, he would have said in the very first beginning, in the beginning, me and somebody else created heavens and earth. It doesn't say that. It says, Bar Elohim, it's a Shema. The Almighty created, and the verb's in the singular. So there's only one God. And throughout the whole Hebrew Bible, that's all you have is one God. He's the one who's talking. We talk about him. We worship him. We praise him. And he's the one who took us out of Egypt. And he's the one who spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. And there's nobody else. And if there was somebody else, then Moshe would have told us that because he was up in heaven hanging out. He would have said, oh, wait, I got to let you in on a secret. It's not just God up there sitting on a throne. It's also, and then he would have said this big secret. We go, wow, who knew that? But there's nothing like that in the Hebrew Bible. Moshe never says anything like that because there isn't anything like that. There isn't any other God but God on the throne. That's our Jewish normative belief. Top page 53. We express our gratitude to God for choosing us to be his treasured people. We praise him for setting us apart from the nations and from their errant and idolatrous ways. In the Chazan's repetition of the Amida, in the Chazan and the Cantor's repetition of the standing Shemoneh Esrei prayer, there are additional prayers before and during these sections, each community according to its traditions. These prayers express how vital Malchios, kingship verses, Zichronos, remembrance verses, and Shofros, shofar-oriented verses are to Judaism, and how essential their proper recital is to the achievement of a favorable judgment. Hashem is indeed very keen for us to emerge meritorious in his judgment. For this reason, God grants us the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah with its mitzvot and its prayers to ensure that we have the opportunity to be at our best at the time when his heavenly court convenes in judgment. At what point on Rosh Hashanah does God deem us to be at the zenith of our preparedness for him to judge us? The answer is when we are reciting Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. As stated above, this avoda, this particular act of worship and praise, is an extraordinary gift from Hashem. It's also a great opportunity and a tremendous responsibility. Taking to heart. In the Areshes Sefaseinu prayer, as a little kid I was in a choir and we used to sing two different versions of this. Areshes Sefaseinu Yerev Lepanecha. Each one was so beautiful. In the Areshes Sefaseinu prayer, recited after each of these sections of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, we ask Hashem to accept that section of prayer and these verses, Berachamim Uberatzam, with mercy and with grace. What is the key to ensure that our recital of these verses and these prayers will be accepted by Hashem? Let's look at the verse with which we conclude the introductory Aleinu prayer. V'yadata hayom, you will know today, v'ashivosa el levavacha, you will place it upon your heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, that God is the only God. He is God. V'ashamayim ima'al, in the heavens above, v'alaretz mitachas, and in the earth below, ein od. There's no other. That's the verse. That's not just me saying it or you saying it. That's Moshe saying it. That's Deuteronomy. That's biblical truth. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. We are a radically monotheistic religion. There's no room for any other God. There is, because there is no other God. In this we join Islam. I'm no Muslim scholar, but the little I know about Islam is that they are also monotheists. And for that, the rabbis say, okay, so since you believe in one God and only one God, that's good. So if we had to go daven, we can go daven inside a mosque. They're not idolaters. We must understand and know the great truths which we are reciting. that there is no other God but God above or below. We have to understand and know that, but that's not enough. We must take them to heart. Bashevosa el levavecha, God says. Moshe says, you will place it, you'll take it to heart. You really think about it and really adopt it. We must feel them with our emotions and let them penetrate our core. We cannot allow ourselves to emerge from Rosh Hashanah's Musaf unchanged and unmoved. These verses are life transforming. They must become the definition of who we are, of what we live for, as Jews, as families, as God's chosen people. When we take them to heart, God will know. He will respond. He will draw us close and show his presence in our lives. And he, in turn, will take us to heart and bring us back to him. Let's read a summary of the second introduction of kingship, remembrance, and shofar verses. These are three extra sections in the Musaf Amidah. At the core of each, we recite 10 relevant verses covering the three fundamental beliefs of Judaism. Number one, Malchios, Malchuyos, recognizing that Hashem is king. Two, Zichronos, remembrances, knowing that God remembers everything and he rewards or punishes accordingly. Three, Shofaros, recognizing the truth of God's Torah, represented by the instrument used at the divine revelation at Sinai. By internalizing their message, we are inspired to increase our commitment to God and his Torah. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is not meant to catch us out, a Britishism, by the way. It's an English way to say it, something like German, to catch us, to trip us up. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is not meant to trip us up, or as they say in London, to catch us out, but to instill within us greater emuna, greater faith. Three brachas also correspond to the three of us, the three patriarchs, and their essential characteristics. Loving kindness of Abraham, the fear of God by Yitzchak, and the commitment to truth by Jacob. 10 verses to express our complete acceptance of God using our entire spirit, the Torah, and the world around us. And now we begin. Malchios, the 10 verses of Malchios, accepting Hashem as our king. Introduction to Malchios, on page 659. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Imru Lefanai B'Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zichronos, V'Shofaros. Recite before me verses having to do with my kingship, my remembrance, and the usage of the shofar before me. Malchios Kedei Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. Recite the verses of Malchios, of kingship, in order that you will make me king over you. A Gemara in Rosh Hashanah 16a. With these words, the Talmud, quoting Rabbi Akiva, reveals the Torah's purpose in instructing us to recite verses about God's kingship. Without this Talmud, we would have been at a loss to understand. The kingship of God is an established fact. He is the all-powerful creator of the world, who on Rosh Hashanah holds his creation to account. Why then spend time talking about his kingship? A person on trial in a human court does not keep repeating that the judge is the judge. That's obvious. Rather, he pleads for his life. Would it not be better to plead for our lives, to present our merits and repent for our sins? Top page 60. Rabbi Akiva teaches us that God has a better way. Although he is the all-powerful king, there is an aspect of his malchus, his kingship, which is as yet incomplete. He knows that the greatest possible merit for Israel on this awesome Yom HaDin, this day of judgment, is for us to proclaim and willingly accept him as king. Consider a parable. the regal but little-known nobleman rode through the thoroughfares of the city, accompanied by a small retinue. As they proceeded through bustling streets and marketplaces, the nobleman's entourage was proclaiming something of importance, but the townspeople were preoccupied and little inclined to spare the group more than a passing glance. It seemed that word had not yet reached these people of the upcoming coronation of their new monarch, who had favored them on this day with a personal visit. Those accompanying the new king turned to their master, shamefaced, and begged his forgiveness on behalf of the ignorant population. The king turned his majestic face to them and replied with a smile, "My dear friends, these people have no idea that I have been anointed king. You, my close followers, are responsible for my accession to the kingdom. The future of my kingdom is in your hands. The populace will only believe you that I am now their king when you reveal the glory of my kingdom. Sound the trumpets before me and proclaim my majesty with awe. Express your joy at my coronation. Demonstrate that my authority over you is absolute. When these folks see that you're treating me with the honor that my monarchy truly deserves, they'll realize soon enough that I am their king." Says the Almighty to Israel, "Recite Malchios before me, in order that you shall make me king over you. God should surely be recognized as king by the entire world, not just over the small number of devout Jews who are aware of his kingship. On Rosh Hashanah, the day of his coronation, we turn shamefaced to God and implore him to reveal his kingdom now and for all time. He turns to us, as it were, with a smile, and he says, 'My dear devoted people, you have remained loyal to me through millennia of exile and persecution. You desire that my kingdom be accepted by all of humanity, as is indeed fitting. If so, accept me as king, first over yourselves. Sound the shofar before me and proclaim my majesty with awe. Do so wholeheartedly, joyfully, and with complete devotion. Become shining examples of what my truly devoted servants are like. When you do so, the time will be ripe for my malchus, my kingship, to be revealed to all.'" Top page 61. But before we go into the 61 and continue, I want to just read a quick footnote. According to Toma Devorah, chapter 1, the angels call Hashem Melech Aluv, the insulted king. Any time that even one individual sins, that act is an insult to the honor of Hashem, who at that very moment is showering goodness upon that very person. On a worldwide scale, the extent of the insult is mind-boggling. So few are those who recognize God as king of his world at all, let alone make any attempt to fulfill his will. When we pray in Rosh Hashanah for God's kingdom to be revealed to the world, we're not describing a theoretical ideal. We're imploring God to put an end to the terrible insult to his honor, which exists in a world that is as yet ignorant of the awesome glory that's due him. Middle page 61, the purpose of the creation of mankind. Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, is the anniversary of the creation of man. On the sixth day of creation, Rabbi Chaim Friedlander writes in Sifsei Chaim on the Moadim, "Man was created in order to proclaim God's kingdom in this world. The song, the shir of Yom Shishi, the sixth day, is the song of Adam, who was created on this day. It reads, 'Hashem Malach.' Literally, that means God has reigned in the past tense, but Hebrew is a little bit fluid, and even though it's in the past tense, you could say God indeed does reign in the present tense. That's Psalm 93. This song expresses the role of man in this world, the purpose of the existence of mankind and of the whole of creation." That's the end quote of Rabbi Chaim Friedlander. Our role is to willingly proclaim God as King. However, this requires our clarification. God, the all-powerful Creator, does not need us to agree to His rule. He is King with or without us. What then is added by our declaration that He is King? The Vilna Gaon explains that the word Melech has a specific meaning. It refers to a king who is willingly accepted by his nation. A king who is powerful but does not rule by the consent of his subjects is a Moshel, a ruler. See the Vilna Gaon on Proverbs 27:27. In that sense, God is king over his creation only to the extent that his kingship is willingly accepted and honored. This principle is reflected in the words we say in Adon Olam. Adon Olam, Asher Malach, Master of the Universe, who reigned, Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before any form was created, Leis Na'asa V'Chetzo Kol, at the time when his will brought all into being, Azai Melech Shemo Nikra. Then, his name was proclaimed as King. Hashem was King before creation. He always was in complete control. Nonetheless, it was only when he made mankind that there existed a being that would call him King. And by the way, we say the pasuk Kil Hashem Hamelucha Umoshel Bagoyim. And I do believe that's going to be coming up as one of the famous psukim that we say. Kil Hashem Hamelucha, to the Almighty God is Melucha, is the kingship. Umoshel Bagoyim. He's a ruler among the nations. So for Klal Yisrael, he's a melech. We accept his kingship willingly. For the rest of the nations, some of them, not so much. And so therefore, he is their moshel. He is their ruler, for many of them, against their will. Now, it seems that maybe the Muslims, 1.5 billion strong, they go along with this program. At least I think they do. You got 2.2 billion Christians and plus a lot more. And that's generally a monotheistic faith, although it's got some weird triune aspects to it. It's not a Avodah Zarah for the nations. It's a Avodah Zarah for us. But for the rest of the nations, I think that the rabbinic psak is that for the most part, it's not a Avodah Zarah for them, which is heartening because can you imagine if you had 2.2 plus billion people and the status was that they were worshiping idols. It's terrible. Long story short, you've got 3.5 billion people, maybe even close to 4 billion, in a world population of 7 billion, who are worshiping the God of history, the God of creation. So you're left with 3 billion people, mostly Hindus, Buddhists, Confucians, Taoists, Shintoists, and others, who are not on the program of monotheism. So we pray that one day they will come on board. Till then, they seem to be the nations over whom Hashem is the Moshel. He's the ruler over the nations. On Rosh Hashanah, middle page 62. I'm sorry, one second. Yeah, we continue. On Rosh Hashanah, the day of the renewal of the kingship, the Malchus of God, our acceptance of his kingdom is of critical importance. The sincerity and depth of feeling that we put into Malchios will determine the impact of this avodah, that this service, this worship has upon us. This, in turn, will directly affect the scope of God's kingship over his world. What an awesome responsibility. What an amazing privilege. Let's ensure that we are properly prepared. Accepting the king as a nation. Our acceptance of God as king is not as individuals. Klal Yisrael as a unit accepts God as king. For this reason, there is a great emphasis on unity in many of the verses of Malchios, the kingship verses. The aim of any good king or ruler is to unite the citizens of his country around him. When it comes to God's kingdom, this is all the more crucial. Unity is all the more crucial. The very essence of Malchus Shemayim, the kingdom of heaven, is the oneness of God, as we will learn. As members of Klal Yisrael, which is called Goy Echad Ba'aretz, one nation on earth, meaning a uniquely singular nation on earth, unique nation on earth, our duty is to reflect the oneness of God in our unity as a nation. This point is evident in the final verse of Malchios, Shema Yisrael. Maharal asks, in the Tiv HaAvoda, why it is that the declaration of Hashem's oneness in that verse must begin with the words, Shema Yisrael. Why not get straight to the point? Hashem is our God. Hashem is the one and only. Why say Shema Yisrael? What did it accomplish with those words? Hear, O Israel. What's being done with that? The Maharal answers, top page 63. He answers that because Shema is the acceptance of the kingdom of Hashem, our acceptance can only be as a nation. There's no such thing as the king of an individual. God, who is one, wishes to be the king of a Klal Yisrael that is one. Shema must therefore be addressed to the whole of Israel. Maharal adds that it would also have been insufficient to say, Hashem, God of Israel, is one. For each Jew must say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, including himself, in the unit of Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel. While each person's focus should rightly be on how he or she, as an individual, can change for the better, our aim should be to make ourselves part of the indivisible Klal Yisrael, united around God and his Torah. To become his representatives, the opportunity we have to crown God as king enables us to become identified with his kingdom. We become the close members of his household. For this reason, Abraham, whose life's work it was to make God known in his world, Abraham is synonymous with his kingship. Because Abraham proclaimed God as king, radiating God's goodness wherever he went, he became the focus of the malchus, the kingship of God in this world. We too, at our level, have the privilege and duty to represent Malchus Shemayim, the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Accepting Hashem as king, the greatest privilege. Our master, the Vilna Gaon, was tremendously joyful at the time of Tekiya Shofar. He also said that we should be in a very happy and joyful state, just as in a country on the day of the accession and coronation of its king. In the same way, at Tekiya Shofar, at the blowing of the shofar, we establish the kingdom of God in all the worlds, for we are his people. The worlds meaning the spiritual olamas or alyonim, the upper worlds up in heaven. Top 64. Our joy at accepting God as king is partly due to the fact that on Rosh Hashanah, God reestablishes his malchus over his entire creation. His kingship over his entire creation. It's also because he has granted Israel the status of Am Segula, his treasured nation. It is our privilege to crown God as king and to dedicate ourselves to serve as his servants and ambassadors. Chaim Volozhiner writes, the primary reward of mitzvos is having the privilege of serving the King of glory, the King of kings, the Almighty God. The moment when a person realizes this is more beautiful than the entire world to come. Wow. Let me read that again. The moment a person realizes the primary reward of mitzvos is simply your having the privilege of serving God, the moment you realize that, when you come to that realization as a grown-up, that the primary reward of a mitzvah is just simply being able to do that mitzvah, and you're doing that mitzvah because God said so, and he's talking to you as a Jew, Because he gave you and me the Torah, and he says, do this. Shake the lulav. Be kind. Keep Shabbos. Put on tefillin. Give charity. Keep the holidays. Pray. There's so much to do. Keep kosher. And so on. Keep shatness. So much. When we realize that the primary reward of all that is just simply having the burden of doing it. It's a privilege to serve God. We could have been born ants, elephants. It wouldn't have been the same. I'd be either out in the Serengeti or I'd be behind some wall in the Cincinnati Zoo. Eating my full head off. Well, all right. That may not have been so bad, I suppose. But I prefer to be a human being and a Jew over being an elephant. I've got the Torah to keep. Because God created me a human being and said, now do what I'm telling you to do. Live a godly life and you'll be uplifted. You're absolutely right. What a privilege that is. The primary reward of mitzvos is having the privilege of serving God. The moment a person realizes this, it's more beautiful than the entire world to come. Accepting God as our King enables us to experience the great joy of serving Him. When we feel that joy, that realization, which Rav Chaim Volozhiner speaks of, comes within our reach. May we merit achieving this beautiful realization through our service of Malchios, kingship persons. In summary, introduction to Malchios. One, we must strengthen our own devotion to God, our King. We will be an example for mankind to follow. Two, the purpose of creation is to willingly proclaim God as King. Three, this must be proclaimed as a nation, showing unity. Four, we must identify with God, our King. Finally, five, we should feel it's a privilege and that it brings joy. Let's begin. Three verses from the Torah. The first verse of Malchios. Hashem, the Almighty God, Yimloch, will reign Leolam Va'ed. For all eternity. Exodus 15, verse 18. The first verse of Malchios comes from the end of the prophetic song of Moshe and Yisrael upon their salvation at the Yam Suf. The moment when, in unity, Israel proclaimed the kingdom of God was the culmination of the entire process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus of Egypt. Hashem had now shown Israel as a whole that He is our King and our Redeemer. Furthermore, God had now shown each individual Jew that He, God, was redeeming that individual personally as part of Klal Yisrael. On Rosh Hashanah, we commence our renewed commitment to God's kingship with this same verse. Just as the kingdom of God is forever and all-encompassing, our commitment to His kingdom is forever and all-encompassing. A quote, a footnote of the Yesod B'Sherash HaAvodah, who writes, when reciting the first verse, Hashem Yimloch, the Almighty will reign, the Olam Va'ed forever and ever, one should have in mind, with tremendously great joy, I hereby accept you, God, as my God and King, and upon my children, and upon my descendants for all generations. One should rejoice tremendously in one's heart that he has such a holy God, an awesome King. One should have this intention in mind when reciting all 10 verses of Malchios. You know, years ago I served as an attorney in Manhattan for a small insurance company that insured doctors. So we were doing a lot of medical malpractice defense work. And Andrew Sears, of blessed memory, he was the lead attorney. It was the law office of Andrew Sears. And it was Lee Bernstein, and it was me, and it was another one, another young attorney. His name, I honestly forget, a young lady. And I just remember so enjoying Andy Sears' company. I really grew to love him. He was so knowledgeable, smart, funny. Always had something witty to say. Knew literature. He knew music. I could sing a tune to him. He could tell me the opera he was from. And he was just, and also he's a masterful attorney. Absolutely masterful. He was just so bright and so quick and so knowledgeable. He knew medicine, not as well as a doctor, but as well as the layman could possibly know it. He would look over a complaint, which lists out all the various things, and he would just like cut it up. This is not true. That can't possibly be. This is a contradiction. And he just marked it up as only an expert could. I really grew to love him. I really enjoyed working for him. And when he was killed in a car crash, not long after my tenure was completed, I was in tears because I really grew to love him. It was a moment in my life when I used to enjoy going to court and saying, I'm with the office of Andrew Sears, because I really held him in extremely high regard. And then he was gone. Well, if that's the way I could feel about a human being, that it was a pleasure representing him in court and telling a whole bunch of attorneys, where are you with? Who are you with? Oh, you're with, I don't know. I just don't know the other insurance carriers for doctors. Let's call them Smith. You're with Smith's office? Yeah, I'm with Sears. And I said it with great pride. I'm with Andrew Sears. I really enjoyed him so much. I really grew to love him. And I feel if I could have that feeling of love and devotion to a human being, then I got to really, really ratchet it up if I'm going to be representing the Almighty here on earth. I feel like that. How much the more do I have to really, really enjoy the privilege of serving the Almighty? Some people serve money. Some people serve Satan. I'm serious. There are people out there who are absolute Satanists. They're into the devil. They're witches. They're just the evil. They're on the dark side. That's who they serve. They serve some angel, some nothing angel that serves God. I don't get that. We're on the right team. Top of page 67. May the Almighty very soon grant us the merit of seeing the complete revelation of his kingship. Then he will show us once again with complete clarity that he is our king and that his kingdom is forever. Let me just repeat one little verse, one little. On Rosh Hashanah, we commence our renewed commitment to God's kingship with this verse of Hashem Yimloch, God will reign. Just as the kingdom of God is forever and all-encompassing, our commitment to his kingdom is forever and all-encompassing. There are two main approaches in the commentaries to this verse, God will reign for all eternity. Number one, the Targum and Rashi, this verse is an expression of praise. Hashem Yimloch, God will reign, Le'olam Va'ed, for all eternity. The Targum is, the kingdom of Hashem shall endure for all eternity. His kingdom is complete. He rules over all existence. He is the king over kings of kings in this world. He is king in the world to come and forever. Imagine having to go up against the Almighty on the day of judgment when you realize, oh my goodness, I got nothing except for the mitzvahs that I did. I got nothing. Nothing else means anything up here, and I'm standing in front of God. I'm standing in front of the one and only God, and he's going to judge me. Whew, I sure hope I did some mitzvahs that were worth something down on earth. Because if not, I don't stand a chance of winning this. Please tell me I did mitzvahs. Please tell me I learned some Torah. Please tell me I did something right in the world. And then the prosecutor comes out with all your sins. A mountain of them going, oh boy. The day is done. I'm finished. Off I go. And then in comes the defense counsel. And he's got all your mitzvahs there. And you're beginning to say, oh, thank goodness. I did something on earth that was worthwhile. And they look like they're pretty impressive too. So here goes. Here goes the trial. And you get rewarded for everything good and punished for everything bad. And there's no portioning off. And there's no counterbalancing. God does not say, well, you did one mitzvah. That was great. I'm going to knock away three avers. God doesn't do things like that. Human being judges do that. God does not do that. So we have to be careful that we don't pile on to ourselves averos for no good reason. Rabbi Brock said, at least have a Yetzer Hara for it. If you're going to stand in front of God and have to account for sins, at least, say to God, well, Almighty God, my dear Father in heaven, you got to understand, you put in me a Yetzer Hara, and I had a tremendous taiva for that. I wanted to eat that food. I was running after that money, so I cheated people. God would say, hopefully he's going to say, well, I get that. But can you imagine if you also have to account for sins that you didn't really have any great tie before? You just did them because you felt like doing them, or just to anger God. God's going to say, so why'd you do this? Did you have a big tie for that? Did I put that into your head? That you should want the money or the good food? Did you have a tie to do that avera? No, I don't think I did. So then why'd you do it? Just to aggravate you? I mean, I can't think of any other reason why I did it. God's going to say, oh, just to aggravate me. You did a sin, a lot of them, just to aggravate me. Not because you had a Yetzer Hara for it, which I can at least understand. Maybe I can be merciful for that. Because after all, I put the Yetzer Hara in you. So if you're telling me you had a Yetzer Hara, I can get that. But you're telling me you did sins just to aggravate me? So where's the mercy going to come from? Why should I be merciful? And I don't think I will be. Oh, boy. Don't be standing in front of God having to account for sins that you had no Yetzer Hara for. And all you did was you did it because you felt like it. You wanted to anger God. Do not do that nonsense. Don't add sins upon yourself. Here we go. 5 more minutes. As a result of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're looking at this first understanding. This verse is an expression of praise. Hashem Yimloch V'Olam Va'ed, God will reign forever and ever. Klal Yisrael came to this realization that the Almighty will reign forever through the miraculous events that they had just witnessed in the course of the Exodus from Egypt, and especially at the splitting of the Yamsuf. They had seen the power of the Egyptians, who had been their enslavers, and the uncontested superpower of that time, just crumble into oblivion. They now clearly understood that God alone is master over all forces of nature. And Rashi, the verse refers to the final redemption. According to Rashi, the praise in this pasuk is prophetically referring to the times of Mashiach. Then all kingship will be his. Hashem Yimloch, the Almighty will reign Leolam Va'ed forever, which means all kingship, his melucha, will be his for all times. Now the Ramban, Nachmanides, says this verse is a prayer. Hashem Yimloch, may the Almighty rule Leolam Va'ed. We call that the Jussive voice. May Hashem rule. It's a plea, it's a hope, an aspiration, a prayer. May the Almighty rule for all eternity. Ramban, Nachmanides, and others understand that in this pasuk, the Jewish people were praying, may it be God's will, that just as he revealed his kingdom and his justice in giving reward and meting out punishment at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, so may the Almighty do in all generations forever. The Ramban. See the Chizkuni's first explanation. May it be God's will to rule over us, such a good master who has done such good for us. Shlomo Karbach, a blessed memory. Shlomo Karbach used to say, kings of the earth, they put their foot on your neck and they say, let's see you get up now. The Almighty, on the contrary, lifts you up and says, come on, dust yourself off, put on some nice clothes, get into the ring and serve me. And you're a mensch, and I never want you to forget that you're created in my image. I'll never put my foot on your neck. How am I going to get anything done? And I never subdue anybody like that, because I'm not cruel like that. Human beings are cruel. I'm not cruel. I created you. I made you in my image. I am loving. So you be loving. I'll never put my foot on your neck, ever. Never forget that. Now get dressed and get involved. Put that uniform on and get on the field. You'll never have my foot on your neck, ever. But you got to work. Leo Lumbad, for all eternity. Let's wrap it up. Rashi explains that this means forever. You know what? Let's just keep on going to the end of this summary. Rashi explains that this means forever, meaning that the Malchus, the kingdom of God, which will be fully revealed at the coming of Mashiach, well, it's going to endure forever. The word for Boed is to show that Leolam means not only for a long time, but it means eternally, says the Shariyar. Boed means forever, says the Gemara in Erevin. Talmud Mashiach, when Hashem Shechina will be revealed for eternity, it's referred to as Leolam Boed, says the Yad HaKetana. Rabbi Shamshi Raphael Hirsch explains that Boed is related to the word Ya'ad, which means an appointed time or place, which indicates a future that is absolutely certain, despite it being concealed and distant. Olam. It is Olam Va'ed. It may be concealed, but it's going to be revealed, and it's going to be absolutely certain. The glory of Hashem, concealed and then revealed. Our verse was first said on the occasion of the splitting of the Reed Sea. Why did this, more than all the other miracles of the Exodus, inspire Israel to appreciate God's kingship? Remember, they're saying that in unison, and they're all having like Nevuah come upon them. The Holy Spirit fell upon the whole nation. And they sang as Yashir all together as a people. An incredible thing. So why this pasuk? And why, of all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, why the splitting of the Reed Sea? Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Reed Sea was far more than the salvation of Israel from peril. It was the demonstration to each and every Jew that God had always been closely aware of his personal suffering in Egypt. Each Jew now saw that God was redeeming him personally as part of Israel. Every individual witnessed how the Egyptian who had persecuted him received a punishment exactly commensurate with his crimes. Top 69. In this way, it was made clear that Hashem had always been with Israel, and that even the deeds of their wicked oppressors had, against their will, ultimately brought glory to God. Therefore, Israel came to the realization that Hashem is always king. He's always present in his world, and he orchestrates events according to a master plan, which is far too complex for mere mortals to comprehend. They then realized that just as God had revealed his kingship now, he'll be king forever, no matter how hidden his presence may be. That's a beautiful thought. Everything exists to bring glory to God. According to our sages, Israel understood from the splitting of the Reed Sea that everything in creation exists in order to bring glory to Hashem. Our sages learn this from our verse. The Almighty will reign forever and ever. In Perek of King and Torah in Avos, chapter 6, we learn, everything that God created in this world, he created only for his glory. As it is written, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have fashioned, even perfected, Isaiah 43, verse 7. It is also written, God will reign for all eternity. That pasuk in Isaiah slays me. Wow. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I fashioned, even perfected, God knows my name. It's even a song out there. It's a song in Christian rock and roll. Yes, he knows my name. Never think that you've been forgotten, that God doesn't know who you are. He knows you, created you, loves you, and expects a lot from you. He wants to have a relationship with you. The revelation of Kol Shamayim, of the glory of Hashem, the revelation of the glory of God to Israel and to each individual within Israel, inspire them to realize that it's our privilege and it's our responsibility to uphold the glory of God. Therefore, our verse is far more than an expression of praise. It's a personal and national declaration that our existence is entirely devoted to God. This declaration, top 70, this declaration is not a departure from reality. True, the world is far from the open revelation of the kingship of God, of heaven. However, what we see is but a tiny fragment of the big picture of the master plan. That's the lesson that we learned at the Reed Sea. In the same way, our current spiritual level, at which there may well be a significant gap between the ideal and the reality, is but a starting point for spiritual growth and the development of a closer relationship with God. The first verse of Malchios, this verse, God will reign forever, shows that situations which were very difficult to bear ultimately brought glory to God. This is an inspiration for us to reveal the Kvod Shemayim, the honor of heaven, which is latent within ourselves. Today, we are awaiting the full revelation of God's glory, which will take place upon the arrival of Mashiach. Only then will his master plan become clear. Then the truth will be so openly revealed that there will be no contradiction between our knowledge of Emunah and the application of Emunah in our lives. In these verses of kingship, where our service to God is making Hashem our king, we aim to do all we can to eliminate the gap between our faith and our deeds. We then pray that in the merit of the efforts that we make, God will speedily bring about the revelation that will truly enable us to fulfill these aspirations. May it be speedily in our days. Summary. The first verse in the Torah, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed, God will reign for all eternity. The verse was first said at the culmination of revelations of the Exodus of Egypt. Some see it as a statement, God is king forever. Some see it as a prayer, may he reveal his kingdom and justice forever. Everything in creation exists to bring glory to God. For now, we see only a fragment of the bigger picture. Let's hope and pray that we'll soon see the rest of it. Very soon, Meher of Yemenu, Amen. My dear friends, I want to thank you all for calling in. God said we finished this chapter, and now we're going to go on to the second verse of Malchios, which you'll find in Bamidbar 23. God willing, we'll do that next week. Thank you again for joining me for book club class. Shul Plotka signing off for Gulf Manor Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies. God willing, please join us tomorrow night as we continue our study of 2 Kings, chapter 12. Don't miss it. You've got to jump on board. We hope to be able to finish that book around Hanukkah time or so. All the best. Have a great rest of the day, a safe day, a cool day. Enjoy it. Take care and be well. Bye-bye now.